Okay, so good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Parsha class learning at Ohel. It is, of course, Chas Av, Erev Tisha B'Av is the day that the spies returned from the Holy Land and that they slandered the land of Eretz Yisrael. So today is a day of Lashon Hara, if you will. And it is their Lashon Hara that led to, it's the Gemara Maseches Tainis Chaf Tes that says the day that they returned was Erev Tisha B'Av Hayah. And Vayivku Ambalaila Hahu, the people cried that night was Tisha B'Av. So it led to the mourning for nothing. Atem Bechisim, Bechir Shachinim, Ani Kovei Lachem Bechila Rodoros. You mourned for no reason. I will establish for you a mourning for generations. Was preceded by the Lashon Hara of the Meraglim. They all sat down and they slandered in their tents. And the Lashon Hara, of course, spread like wildfire. So we should try and be misakin on this day using positive speech. What led to the sin was negativity, ayin ra'ah, they saw the negative of the land. We should strive very hard. It's such a huge nisayon to be liros tov, but only through being a liros tov can we hope for redemption. So the Gemara famously tells us, Maseches Yuma, Daftas, I have quoted this ad nauseum during these 3 weeks. Soon we're moving into Elul, and you won't hear me quoting it again. Belinator, probably till next year. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Yuma, by the way, it's Parshas Veschanan. At the end of the shiur, I will relate the learning to Parshas Veschanan, because the question really when I was preparing is if Parshas Devarim always precedes Tisha B'Av, which it always does, that means Veschanan always must follow Tisha B'Av. So there's so much talk about why Devarim precedes Tisha B'Av, but not so much talk, as far as I know, but it could be wrong, as to why Veschanan follows Tisha B'Av. Yeah, we talk about Shabbos. Nachamu, 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 Ami. Yeshayahu says, my people should be comforted, Yomar Hashem. But why Dafka? What is in Veschanan that it's part of the lesson of what follows Tisha B'Av? So we're not going to really resolve that to the end of the shir. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Yuma, Daf Tes, that the first place of Mikdash was destroyed, Mipnei Gimel Dvarim Shahayuba. And again, you've heard me and others say this, because of the three things that were in it, the three cardinal sins that a Jew must not transgress, rather give up his life. And those three things are idolatry, promiscuity, and murder. They are Avodah Zarah, they are Gilui Arayos, and Shfichus Damim. So during the time of Bais Rishon, these were the prevalent sins, and therefore the Babylonians came and destroyed the first temple, and the people went into Galus Bavel, Al Naros Bavel, Sham Yashavnu, Gam Nachinu, Bezechreinu at Tzion. So when did we miss Tzion? When we left Tzion. Isn't that human nature, that we don't appreciate what we have to Rachmana Litzan? We don't appreciate enough what we have to Rachmana Litzan. We don't have it anymore. Had we longed for the essence of Tzion, Yerushalayim, Yer Eshalom, the city of peace, before the Churban, perhaps the Churban would not have struck us. But then the Gemara says, Bayisheni, in the time of the Second Temple period, the people were osek in Torah, Mitzvos, and Gemilas Chassadim. You could open up the Gemara. I've quoted this, maybe not really, 100 times. The people were osek in Torah, Mitzvos, and Gemilas Chassadim. Mipnei Bacharav. So why were we rotly? Why were we worthy that Bayisheni should be destroyed? Let us note how long this galus is. Bayisheni was destroyed in the year 70 by the Romans. It's 2017. We're almost 2,000 years later. If they were osek in Torah, mitzvos and gemilas chasadim, so the Gemara says, mipnei shehaisavos sinas chirim, because the people had baseless hatred. So they were, you know, they had a lot of yeshivas, they were osek in Torah, they were osek in mitzvos, they were very machmir to get the best muhudar esrog, and the best lulav, and the shmura mina shmura matzah, and the best baal tokeh you ever heard, and the mechitzas up to shemayim, and everyone skirts down to the floor, and they're perfect in bein adam lamaka. They're such tzaddikim in such a time. Because there was baseless hatred. It means this faction can't get along with that faction. This group doesn't like that group. These people don't agree with that people. It's either my way or the highway. And if I'm right, you can't also be right. We both can't possibly be right. If the length of my skirt is the right length, that means the length of your skirt is the wrong length. And if my yeshiva wears the right color yarmulke, it means your yeshiva wears the wrong color yarmulke. And if I say ta and you say suh, Then you can't both be right. So why are we still here? Have things changed?
Nope.
To teach you that if you had a scale and you put Gilui Arayus of Avodah Zarah and Shfichus Damim on this side of the scale, the three sins that you should never transgress, you have to give up your life. Kill this person or give up your life, you have to die. If you put sin eschinim on this side, they're going to be equal. The scales will come out to be equal. So called Darshal Abana Biyamav, Kilu Necha Biyamav, says Yerushalmi. Is it any wonder? Are we so different? Someone sent me a video yesterday, a WhatsApp 2-minute clip, that sometimes when I'm sent a video, I actually pause at each frame to transcribe exactly what was said. I didn't do that yesterday, but I'm going to share it. I hope it's a accurate retelling of what was encapsulated within this video. It was Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson. He is very well known. He travels all over the world, giving shiurim, being misorah people, being mechazik people. He's very, if you classified him, you would say, and I don't like to say this, but there's a reason I'm saying this, he's in the yeshivish world. There's a reason I'm saying this. Did anyone see the 2-minute video going around WhatsApp about him speaking about the soldiers?
Yeah.
Okay. So he says he spoke in a certain place. There was a lot of people there, and he said to them, I want to tell you one thing. We all have an achrayus, and again, I stress that he's from the yeshivish world on purpose, even though you learn with me, and you know, I even try to stay away from terms in general. Torah is for every year, and Hashem doesn't have classifications. We put classifications upon ourselves, not God. So he told the following Musar Shmuz in this 2-minute WhatsApp video that was WhatsApp to me. He said, I want to tell you one thing. Everyone, when they go to Eretz Yisrael, has an obligation to go over to every chayal that they see, every IDF soldier, and say to every soldier you see, Ani rak ratzah lahagid lachem shtei milim. I want to tell you 2 words. Todah rabba. Don't get into machlokas with them, he said, mipnei machar, b'dei shayisa bosil ischim. Not machlokas. Not a whole discussion of philosophy, should you serve or shouldn't you serve. He said in the video, you're learning in the mirror because those Jewish boys are defending the state of Israel. And he said, if we didn't have them, we would all have to close our sefer. So he said, it's not a discussion. Ani rak ragid rak rotza lagid lachem shtei milim. Todah rabah. He says, we talk so much about akar satov, akar satov. What's akar satov? Somebody passes you a tissue box. So you have to say to the person who passes the tissue box, thank you very much. So to the person who passes the tissue box, you have to say thank you very much. And if you get to express a karsa tov, then before Yom Kippur, you have to go ask mechila because you insulted them. So for the person who puts their life on the line, so you can live and learn here, you don't have to express a karsa tov. For the tissue box, you have to say thank you very much. And before Yom Kippur, go ask Mechila. We're coming up to Ellis, man. Everyone insulted. You have to say, I'm sorry, thank you. Please. But for the person who puts their life on the line, he buried his friend. And he buried another friend. And his parents buried a son. And to him, he's less than the tissue box. You don't have to say 2 words. Todah rabah. Nipnei macharav. Because my clothing is more tznius than your clothing, and my yarmulke is better than your yarmulke, my yashkaf is better than your yashkaf, and my pronunciation is better than your pronunciation. So here we are. Have times changed? The Navi tells us, what is the prophecy that precedes destruction? Out of all things Chazal could choose to precede destruction, they chose Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amatz. It's very interesting if you paid attention to the Haftorah. It's not a Haftorah of Chorban. It doesn't talk about Chorban per se. Yes, one pasuk tells you that your city's destroyed and everything's desolate. For the most part, the Navi is not talking about the Chorban. It's talking about the sins, the failings of the people. So when we want to know about Churban, that means we have to take a step back and say, let's not only talk about the Beis HaMikdash was burned. Let's talk about what caused the Beis HaMikdash to be burned. And that is the prophecy that is chosen to usher in Shavua Shechalbo. The week of Tisha B'Av is ushered in by the words of Chazon Yishayahu ben Amatz. It was a vision. Yishayahu was a prophet who prophesied for 90 years, 90. He served under four kings, Uzziyahu, Yosam, Achaz, and Yechizkiyahu, and he witnessed the fall of the Northern Empire and the Galus of Seres HaShvatim, the exile of the 10 tribes, and he understood that the Southern Kingdom, Yehuda, Malchus Yehuda, is going perhaps along the same path. Of course, those 10 tribes went into exile. We basically never heard from them again. Yes, there are tribes today. You say they are descendants of Menashe, the 10 tribes. I don't know the halacha, we don't know exactly, but he was trying to bring the people back for good. And the whole prophecy that precedes the Churban is not about the Churban. That we read tonight. That's Yirmiyahu's prophecy. That's Eicha, Yashva Bedad. But the prophecy that precedes is the warning of Yeshayahu. It's the warning. Shimu Shamayim Vazini Eretz. Listen, O heavens. Pay attention, O earth. It sounds a lot like Moshe Rabbeinu's final words. Hazinu Shamayim Vadabera Vatishma Eretz Imir Free. Both Moses in Paraklamet Beis, chapter 32 of Devarim, and Yeshayahu call upon who to testify? The heavens and the earth. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu says in Devarim, in Ha'azinu, Ani Basar Vadam. I am but a flesh and blood. Machar ni meis. Tomorrow I'm not even going to be here. And if Israel says, we never entered into a covenant with God, I call upon the heavens and the earth, Shehim chayim v'kayamim la'olam. The same, you want to hear something amazing? What is the opening pasuk of the entire Chumash? Bereishis bara Elokim et hashamayim ve'es ha'aretz. Those first beings, if you will, that were witness to Briyas Ha'olam. They preceded everything. Some there's midrashim we could talk about, but I'm not going to talk about right now. On the level of the pshat, what preceded all of creation was some frame of reference of Shemayim v'aretz. And at the end of his life, so Bereishis begins with Shemayim v'aretz, Devarim ends with Shemayim v'aretz. Moshe calls that same Shemayim v'aretz that was first created by Briyas Ha'olam to come testify against us. That when you say, I didn't accept the covenant, we're going to call upon the ones who were here before anything else was created. Yeshayahu calls upon them as well. Yeshayahu says, listen, O you people, and I'm calling the heavens and the earth to listen. I want to talk about Pasuk Gimel for a minute. Yeshayahu begins his rebuke after he calls the heaven and the earth, and after we have a little biography. Remember, we're preceding Churban. This is the introduction, if you will, to destruction. Yada shor kanehu v'chamar evus ba'alav. An ox knows his master. A donkey knows who puts food in the trough. Yisrael lo yada. What does Israel not know? Her master. Ami lo hisponi. My people did not pay attention. What is Yishayahu saying here? Even an ox, even a donkey knows who the master is. Even they know who puts food into the trough. You know, the animal sees. Animals are conditioned. They see the master walking with the bag of food to the dog bowl. The dog gets excited. What does it mean? I know that person. I know that bag from Costco. It means that my master is about to dump food into the bowl. There's conditioning. An ox knows. A donkey knows. What about Yisrael? We don't know. Ami lo hisponein. My people did not pay any attention. There's a story told. What is Yishayahu telling us? You understand what this prophecy is? This is tochacha to us. Not talking about when the Beis HaMikdash was set on fire, when the Babylonians came. This was time of God's Bible. Not when the Romans came, but rather, what did we do to facilitate sin? So we began talking a little bit about sin as chinim, which I think is alive and well. Rachman al-Itzlan, may God protect us, may He save us. I think that it's alive and well. But there's a story told. Thank you so much. Tisku mitzvos. You all take very good care of me. Thank you. There's a story told. A boy becomes very sick. And he's laying on his sick bed. And he's deteriorating and deteriorating. And the father arranges that the Rebbe and the classmates should come visit the boy. So the Rebbe and the classmates come in. And the boy looks at the guests. And he looks at his father. And he says, Father, who are these boys? Father says, my son, it's your beloved Rebbe. My son, it's your classmates. The next week, the neighbors come in, and they want to be mevaker cholim. They want to cheer up the boy, and the boy looks at the neighbors. He's played with them. He's known them since he's a young infant. He looks at the neighbors. He looks at his father. And he says, "Father, who are these boys?" "They're your neighbors. You don't remember your neighbors?" The next week, the brothers come to see their brother who's sick. And the child looks at his brothers, and the child looks at his father, and he says, "Father, who are these boys?" The father, with tears in his eyes, says, "My son, those are your brothers." And next week, the father comes in, and the boy looks at the father, and he looks at him again, and he says, "Who are you?" What is the Navi telling us? Yada shar koneyu v'chamar evus ba'alav Yisrael lo yada. That the Ribbono Shel Olam knocks on our door. We don't know who's there. Who is it? And when we open the door, we don't recognize the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam in our lives. Ami lo hisponeim. We're not paying any attention. Rav Shai Shachter said, and I have permission to quote this, Rav Shachter said in his Shabbos drasha this past Shabbos morning at the Young Israel of Woodmir. I was not there. I'm actually quoting his words as he wrote them, and I have permission, b'shem Amar, Rav Shachter said, "Mourning the absence of the Beis HaMikdash is not simply an edifice that is no longer." This is something that I have spoken about over these past weeks. What are we really mourning for? And I have said a number of times in different classes, to me, it's very hard to mourn the actual structure of the Beis HaMikdash. We spoke about that last week. I don't have a frame of reference for the temple. I'm being honest. I was never there. My parents were never there. It was destroyed in the year 70. It's the year 2017. So I don't know what the Beis HaMikdash actually is. I don't know what Karbanos are. So we have spoken about mourning the Churban on a national and personal level that emanates. That's Rachmana Litzlan, Miriam Peretz represents Churban that I can relate to. But Rav Shachter adds another dimension, which I never considered, and I thank him for allowing me to quote this. Mourning the absence of a Beis HaMikdash is not simply about an edifice that is no longer. I'm relating it specifically to Pasuk Gimel in Yeshayahu, Perek Aleph, but it is mourning our faulty lives of confusion and complete disorientation. It is mourning our lives which so often lack perspective. We lack a sense of moral clarity. I'm going to add in here, you know, sometimes we're afraid to stand up and say what's right because it's not politically correct, because what's this person going to say about me or what that third person's going to say about me. I'm afraid to take a moral stance, even if that's what the Torah wants. I don't want to insult anybody. Let's leave well enough alone. We have lost a sense of feeling. We have lost companionship with God. This entire period of the year, he says, is a time, in other words, these 3 weeks, these 9 days, this day of mourning, is a time to think about not davening for 40 days at the Kotel, not segulas that we all cling to like their avodah zara, I'm adding those words on, but this is a time to think about whether we have a pulsating heart. That's what Rav Shachter said. I don't know if anyone here davened to Young Israel Woodmir, or they heard this drasha this past Shabbos morning, but it's not a time to think of all the things we latch onto, but is our heart alive? And when the Ribbono Shel Olam comes knocking on our door, and we're like the sick boy in bed, and we look and we say, "Who are you?" So that's a very big, big problem. That's also Churban. And that's also an element of destruction. When we lack such clarity in our lives, you know, we read Rachmana Litzlan, the challenges that the young generation faces. I'm talking about in the Frum community. The challenges that these children face. I didn't grow up so long ago that things are so drastically different. There is such a confusion. There's such a void. There's such a lack of clarity. Nebuch, in our children, in our youth, and I don't only mean teens and tweens, I mean into young adulthood, they grow up in such a challenging, challenging time. And perhaps some of that is reflected on the fact that we ourselves are confused, and we pass that on, perhaps, to the next generation. There is a couple of verses that refer to the Churban itself. Artzichem Shemama. This is what we're mourning tonight. Your land is desolate. How ironic that the spies didn't want to go there. So God said, "So you don't want to go there? So you won't go there." And what's the result? Artzichem Shemama, Mida Keneged Mida, measure for measure. You don't want to go in. You hate the land. You think it's so bad, so your carcasses will fall in this desert. And what's the result of that? Artzichem Shemama. Instead of the desert being barren, the desert is populated with the carcasses of Knesset Yisrael, and our land is desolate. Arechem serufos eish. Your cities are burned by fire. It's not an accident. You know, I was thinking, it's very interesting. How did the Romans, at least we know the Romans, well, the Gemara says both, by both Tkufos, by Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, but we specifically have evidence of the burning by the Romans. But who burned the cities first, really, with our Sinas Chirim? We burned, proverbially, the city. Measure for measure, the Romans came in and burned the city. Lo taviru esh b'chomosh v'sechem b'yom Shabbos, says the Torah. You shall not light a fire in all your dwelling places on Shabbos. And Chazal say, light a fire. This refers to the fire of Machlokas. That's what the Gemara says. First, the fire of Machlokas. So when we instigate Machlokas through Sin Eschinim, we are already burning our city. We are burning our people. Go read the headlines. Besides for the enemies on the outside, you could like... I tell myself, stop reading the news. When I say news, I mean like Arut Shava and Yeshiva World and YNET news. That's what I'm reading. Stop reading. But never mind the external enemies. What about our internal problems? Refers to the fire of Machlokas. So we already burned Yerushalayim. So when the Navi tells us, and we're going to read it tonight also, Arechem Serufos Eish, they burned what was already burned. And you could go to the burnt house today in the Old City. I never went there till last year. It's fascinating. And you could see the beams that were burned, and you could see the walls that were burned, and you could see the ashes that were burned. The Romans burned the city. And the Gemara says in Maseches Tainis, that they lit, we discussed it last week, that the Beis HaMikdash was lit a fire. It's not an accident that, how is it, you know, why did they have to destroy it by fire? Why couldn't they just knock over the stones? You could see piles of rubble there today. And take the people into captivity. Why Dafka burn it? It's a strong Mida Kenega Mida. We burned it already. They were only burning what was already burned. How does a parent feel when their children fight? Bad. I know, I feel I have young kids in the house. It troubles me terribly, even though it's over small things. One of my kids just said to me, Mommy, it's normal for twins to fight, right? It's normal for twins to fight. He was like trying to validate. You know, he was very cute. He was saying, I shouldn't be upset. It shouldn't frustrate me. Kids fight. But how do you feel? Not good. So how does Ribo and Sholem feel? Terrible. For a tissue box, you say thank you. And if you don't say thank you for a tissue box, you're going to go ask Mechila, Erev Yom Kippur, because you don't want God to give you an X. That you were a kafui tof, for a soldier who lost his friend and lost another friend, and the parents buried a child. So you don't say todah rabah. Arechem srufos eish. We already burned the city. The Babylonians and the Romans only came in and burned what was already burned. Admaschem lenegdechem, zarim ochlim oso. Your city is opposite you. Your land is opposite you. The strangers are consuming it. Ushimama kemahapechas zarim. It is totally desolate. It has been overturned by strangers. The pasuk says in Megillas Eicha, Perek Beis, pasuk Yud Gimel, chapter 2, verse 13. Again, Eicha is Yeshayahu is the prophecy pre-Churban. So he's not talking about Churban. He's talking about our failings, besides for a few short verses that actually relate to Churban. Yeshayahu is talking about what we need to rectify. Yirmiyahu comes along, and 18 years before Churban Bayis Rishon, he writes Megillas Eicha, which is the prophecy of the Churban itself. If we don't listen to the warning of Yeshayahu, which occurs on Shabbos Chazon, before Shavua Shechalba, if we don't listen to this warning, we're going to come to read the Eicha of Destruction. So Megillas Eicha says, which we will read tonight when we sit on the floor, Ma'aideich. What testimony can I offer you from aid? Ma'adamelach. To what can I compare you? Habas Yerushalayim. The daughters of Jerusalem. Ma'ashavelach. To what can I equate you? The Anachamech. And to what can I offer you comfort? Besulas Basion, the virgin daughters of Tzion. Ki gadol kayam shivrech. Me, your palach, your brokenness is as vast as the sea, O Jerusalem. Who can heal you? You know, we're right by the ocean. Go stand on the boardwalk and look out. And we see a drop in the bucket. And the pun is absolutely intended. And what is the brokenness of Jerusalem? What is the pain of Tzion? What is the cry of Yerushalayim? Gadol kayam shivrech. Our brokenness is as whole as great, as shattered as the entire sea. Mir Palach, there's no one who can heal us. Rabbi Chaim Sabato says that if we don't listen to the warning of Eicha, of Yeshayahu, Eicha, in the same Haftorah, it's not really the Haftorah, what is Haftorah? It's an excerpt from Yeshayahu, Parak Aleph. And he says Eicha also. Eicha ha'isolizona, kriya ne'amana. How could it be that the faithful city has become a harlot? That's what Yeshayahu says. Melesi mishpat, tzedek yalin ba, va'ata miratzichim. It used to be full of mishpat, justice and righteousness, and now it's full of murderers. So Rabbi Chaim Sabato says, if we don't listen to the Eicha of warning of Yeshayahu, we will have to say the Eicha of mourning of Yirmiyahu. If we don't listen when the Eicha is just a call to repent. Yeshayahu is rebuking us. He's warning us. He's admonishing us, exhorting us. But if we don't listen when it's a warning, then, says Rabbi Sabato, we will come to say the Eicha of destruction. And when is that? Tonight. Ki gadol kayam shivrech mir palach. Our brokenness is as vast as the sea. Who can count the sea? Who can see the whole sea? Who can behold, see the sea? It wasn't on purpose. Okay, a little bit of, let's lighten things up a little. Does that lighten anything up? I don't think so. Baruch ata Adonai, Eloheinu melech ha'olam, shehakol nehiyah bedvaro.
Amen.
Okay. Miriam Peretz writes, I talk about Miriam Peretz, I say, if you never hear me talk about it, you don't learn with, we don't learn together enough. Okay? Miriam Peretz, for those who do not learn with me on a regular basis, lost her son Uriel at the age of 22 in the north to Hezbollah. And she lost her son Eliraz in 2010 at the age of 31 to Hamas in the Gaza Strip. When Eliraz was killed, he left four Yesomim. The oldest was 6 years old, and he was named Or Chadash Uriel. A new light should shine upon Uriel. Who is Uriel? His fallen brother. In between, her husband Eliezer dies, she says, of a broken heart at the age of 56. She said, God spared Eliezer. He did not have to go through loss a second time when Eliraz was killed. On the eve of Yom HaZikaron 5770, we're in 5777, Tavshanayin Zayin, 7 years ago, on the eve of Yom HaZikaron, less than a month after Eliraz was killed in battle, she was asked to write a piece about her feelings. Miriam says, this pasuk from Eicha has become her personal statement. The pasuk that I quoted, Ma Aidech, Ma Adamalach, to what can I testify against you? What can I compare you to? The daughter of Jerusalem, how can I comfort you? The virgin daughter of Zion. Ki gadol kayam shivreich miyir palach. This, she says, is her personal statement. She is as shattered as vast as the sea. Who can heal her? And on the eve of Yom HaZikaron, 7 years ago, less than a month after her son Eliraz was killed on Erev Shabbat HaGadol, she wrote the following piece. Uriel and Eliraz, my life's joy and my heart's grief. Forgive me, my beloved children, that I am here, continuing without you. Life grasps onto me. It grips me by force. It doesn't release me. I don't know why. Why me? I'm a mother like all mothers, hoping for success, health, and safety for her children. Like all mothers, I am afraid, I worry, I hurt. Forgive me, Uriel, my oldest son. This year, for the first time, I won't stand beside your grave on Yom HaZikaron. I have done so for 12 years, half of them with Abba next to me, along with Eliraz standing there too. Eliraz, who salutes you, who shouts, my brother, Achai, my brother, Achai. I'm sure, Uriel, you already know, Eliraz, your brother, has joined you. This year, therefore, I will stand beside him. They're both buried on Har Herzl, because he needs me. Eliraz, he's new in your section. He has to get used to it. The dark, the earth. You know, I never played favorites. I always sat between the two of you, With my right hand I stroked your golden locks, Uriel. With my left hand I smoothed Eli Ruz's curls. I gave a hug on the right, a hug on the left. You were always together, one mother. Now I stand at a distance. 4 yards separate you, Uriel, from Eli Ruz. So I will gaze at you from behind Eli Ruz's grave. I know you allow me, Uriel. I hear your voice saying, Ima, my younger brother, Eli Ruz, he needs you. I'll be fine. I permit you to be with Eli Ruz this year. And when you're finished, Ima, when you've poured out your heart, your pain, Ima, come to me for a while. I need you too. A mother's embrace is never forgotten. Maybe with me, Ima, you'll find some comfort. I'll give you a big hug. Don't worry, Ima. I'm here. I showed him the way. I've paved the path and paid the price for Eli Ruz. We are here, me and Abba. Dad is waiting with his talit, his two hands stretched out to bless us. Yivarechacha Hashem v'yishmerecha, Yar Shampana v'elecha v'chunaka, Yisa Shampana v'elecha v'seim lecha shalom. And you, Ima, you must continue. And I, your mother, will forever hear your voice bursting from your tiny cradle, your grave. I remember the lullaby I used to sing to the two of you before bed. The light has gone out for a while. Don't leave now as well. Come, Ima. Come, Ima. Sit with me until I grow up. Hugging, kissing, loving, and continuing, Ima. So nobody liked when I was reading that. I didn't like when I was reading it. So that's 2 minutes of 2,000 years of Churban. Ki gadol kayam shivrech mir palach. Our brokenness is as vast as the sea. Who can possibly heal us? That's Churban. Artzichem shemama. Arechem serufos ish. They came in and they burned what we already burned. They made desolate what we made desolate. When we said, lo nuchal la'alos. We don't want to go there. So God said, okay, so we'll remain desolate. You don't want to go. We burned with the machlokas, with fire, the city. So they came and they burned what was destroyed. And therefore our land is opposite us. Enemies, strangers, consume our land. Go stand on top of the Churva today. Unbelievable tour, I highly recommend. Don't do it yourself. Pay the extra few shek to go with the guided tour. It's absolutely fascinating. But at the end, they take you to the platform that is built around the Churva. It's even higher than the Eish HaTorah rooftop. And it's so beautiful. You can see Har Tzofim. If you're facing forward, you see Har Tzofim to the left, Har Habayis in front of you, and Har Zesim. Three mountains. The Megillah says in Eicha, the Megillah says, Al Har Tzion Shashameim Shu Alim Hilchubo. Har Tzion is desolate. Artzichem Shemama. Shemama. Two times in that pasuk. Al Har Tzion Shashameim. It's towards the end of Perkei of Eicha. Shu Alim Hilchubo. Your land is desolate. Foxes prowl there. So go up onto the Churva in Tafshin Ayin Zayin. And you could see what prowls atop Har Habayis today. You could see very clearly. You can zoom in your camera and take pictures. Shu'alim Hilchuba. Salvechik writes the following. Unbelievably moving piece. Everything he writes is unbelievably moving. Also, if you never heard me quote the Rav, then you really never learned with me enough. So Rav Salvechik writes as follows. Someone once told me an experience he had that was published as a short story. In 1945, right after he was liberated by the accursed enemy, Yimach Shmam V'Zichram, it was the first Yamim Noraim. We're coming up to the Yamim Noraim. And after Lithuania was conquered by the Russian forces, this man returned to Vilna. This man told the Rav this story.
He had lived there before the war. It was very hard to describe what Vilna looked like, says the Rav, on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, before the Churban. In one neighborhood, there were 8 or 9 shuls, that had minyanim. There were the old synagogues, the old shul, the Nusach Sfarad shul, other synagogues. One shul was called the Kalta shul, the cold shul, because they couldn't heat it. So they could not daven there in the winter time. So it became known, we have the red shul, the white shul, the blue shul, even though the red shul is not red, the blue shul is not blue, and I don't think the white shul is so white. They had their kalta shul. The oldest of them was the Beit HaKnesset HaGra, the Kavnisha shul, and that shul dated back to the Middle Ages. This person remembered what the shulhaif, am I saying it right? Shulhaif, yeah. Yeah. Is the area, the whole neighborhood where all these shuls were. And this person remembers what it looked like on Yom Kippur. Tens of thousands of Vilna Jews used to come to all these shuls on the night of Kol Nidre. Who didn't go to shul? On Yom Kippur. But this time, he went back. It was Yamim Noraim of 1945. It was silent. He did not see a single soul. On that Kol Nidre night, he went to the shul where his mother used to daven. He wanted to see what was there now. And he used an expression when relating the story that we find in the Kinnus. Mi tein roshi mayim. Mi tein roshi mayim. Who will give my head water? But ein mayim ela Torah. Maseches Avodah Zarah. Dafei, there's no water ela Torah. Where is the Torah, he said? Where is the Talmud? Where are those who studied the Torah? Mi tein roshi mayim. There's no water here. Behold, the place is desolate. No one dwells here. Then he told me a strange story. His mother was an Erlacha Yedina, a pious Jewish woman, as all mothers were so many years ago. And of course, on Yom Kippur, she would go to shul, to daven. But she had a cat. And when it was time for Maftir Yonah, she used to leave shul. She would go home to feed the cat. After all, says the Rav, a cat's not obligated to fast on Yom Kippur. The cat used to wait for her. Every day at this time was feeding time. And after she fed the cat, she went back to shul. So the man, of course, knew the cat from when he grew up. That year, he spent the whole day in the home where his parents lived. 1945 in Vilna, there's nowhere to go to shul. The Kalta shul is not there. Nusach Sfarad shul is not there. Beit Knesset HaGra is not there. Nothing's there. He spent the whole day in the home where his parents had lived. And at 4:30, the time his mother used to feed the cat, the cat came to the door. You see, says the Rav, when a place is desolate, it's tragic. But when a place is desolate of human beings, but animals prowl there, it is almost unbearable. Hartzion Shashamim, now he quotes the pasuk that I just quoted, Shu'alim Hilchubo, Mount Zion is desolate, foxes prowl there. Mount Zion is desolate, Har Tzion Shashamim. That's painful. I can bear it. But it's worse. Shu'alim Hilchubo is a deeper stage of Churban. Not only are there not people there, it's not enough that it's Shamim. But foxes prowl there. The fox walks around. The cat walks around. The only link this man found between the past and the present was a cat. All he saw was Churban. All the shuls were destroyed, remnants of buildings. And the cat is walking amongst the debris. And this for him was unbearable pain. It was like the image of the fox coming out of the holies of holies. Maseches Makos, Chaf Dalet. I'm not talking about now because I'm talking about tomorrow, my youngest of Vudmisha. But he told me, apparently, the cat was so lonely, the cat walked away. The visit of the cat had a traumatic effect on him. At that moment, that's when he felt the full magnitude of Churban. Not before, then. Har Tzion Shashamim, but that the only link that he could find in his mother's home was a cat. Shu'alim Hilchubo. At that moment, he felt indescribable despair, bleakness. At that moment, dreariness overwhelmed him. When we stand today on top of the Churva, which is an unbelievable tour, really. Go see it. It's just amazing. Go to the burnt house. Look on top. Here's Har Tzofim. Here's Har Bayis. There's Har Zeisim. Look onto Har Bayis. If it's desolate, so it's desolate. Shu'alim Hilchubo is not a commentary on the first half of the Pasuk. It's a deeper level of Churban. It's very interesting because in these entire 3 weeks, I say I can't wait to go the 3 weeks. Let's move on to Teshuvah and Kosa Kosh Baruch Hu, and let's move away from Churban. Halavai. But these entire 3 weeks, I realized when I was preparing this year, see, my title is Arab Tisha B'Av Ohel, 7/31/17. When I was preparing this shiur, I didn't forget that we're still trying to get to Veschanan. I realized that for the whole 3 weeks, I never talked about Kamsa and Bar Kamsia, which I usually do at some point. So let's talk about Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, but I'm going to add a ha'ara that I never said before. So I'm also very excited. It's not my own Harara. The Maharal brings it down. It's very famous, and the Gemara tells us in Maseches Gittin, Daf Nun Hei through Nun Vav, because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, Jerusalem was destroyed. I Kamsa u Bar Kamsa. The Gemara is in Aramaic. This passage of Gemara, I don't mean the Gemara in general is in Aramaic. I mean some of the Gemara is in Lashon Kodesh, some's in Aramaic. So I'm not fluent in Aramaic at all. And therefore, I'm going to tell you the story in English. But I am going to quote the introduction to the story in Aramaic. I Kamsa u Bar Kamsa, Charav Yerushalayim. We can understand that. I Kamsa u Bar Kamsa. We know what that means. Because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, Jerusalem was destroyed. Gavra de Rachmiya Kamsa. What's Rachmiya? What do you think it means? So what is it? What is it saying? Who's Kamsa? The friend. It makes sense. A friend in Aramaic is Rachim. You with me? Dahahu Gavra, a certain man, de Rachmiya Kamsa, he had a friend Kamsa. Ubal Divave Bar Kamsa, he had an enemy Bar Kamsa. Now I'm going to tell you the story. It happened this way. I realized, I can't believe it. The 3 weeks is coming to end. We talk about Maseches Yoma and Sinas Chinam. We began this year like that with Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson and his very, very brave, powerful, moving, and important two-minute video clip. And we said, has anything changed? I didn't talk about Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. So here you go. Okay. My last chance. It happened this way. A certain man had a friend named Kamsa and an enemy named Bar Kamsa. And we are ready? Quoted that in Aramaic. So he made a party. And he said to his servant, I'm sure you all know the story, bear with me, I'm going to repeat it. It's a Gemara, first of all. It's not a, you know, Bubba Mansa story. It's a Gemara. And second of all, again, I'm going to add a beautiful Har at the end. He made a party and he said to his servant, go bring Kamsa. The man went and he brought Bar Kamsa. So when I tell the story, I say maybe he had a hearing loss, like Michal Haaretz, so he heard the wrong thing. It's very easy. Kamsa, Bar Kamsa, it's so easy to get mixed up. Or he typed in the wrong thing in the email. It's also very easy, even if you have normal hearing. So yesterday, someone sent me a text. I'm coming to pick up the boy soon. It was me and a person's phone number I didn't recognize. So I texted them back. I said, who are you texting? Privately. So they said, I'm coming to pick up the boys from your house soon. So I said, you texted me and somebody else. Whoops, I meant to text you and your husband. That I'm coming to pick up the boys soon. You understand? How easy is it to type the wrong thing?
Oh, very.
Dangerously. Dangerously. See, that's a different shear for a different time. Very. All too easy. So instead of the servant, either he misheard or he sent the wrong email, but the servant didn't get it right. And instead of inviting the friend Kamsa, the man goes and he brings Bar Kamsa. But the friend is Kamsa and the enemy is Bar Kamsa. So he comes to the party and he feels so important, and finally we have made amends. Arna Cohen must have been working behind the scenes. Everything's geschmack. I'm important again. So the host finds Bar Kamsa at the party. You are my enemy. What are you doing here? Get out. So the man said, I'm already here. Let me stay. I will pay for whatever I eat. I'm going to take care of my tab. The bill's on me. The host said, absolutely not. Let me give you half of the cost of the entire party. The host refused. I will pay for the whole party. Please do not embarrass me. The host refused, took him by the hand, and he
threw him out.
Said Bar Kamtza, the rabbis were sitting there. It was a chashuv party. You have the Gedolei Hador, maybe not the Gedolei Hador, I don't want to say it like that. You have the important Rabbanim in town. Everybody's there. Nobody stood up and defended me. Nobody said this is a bush or a chlima. Let the guy stay. This shows they agree with what he did. I will go and inform against them to the government. I'm going to go tell on them. So he went to the emperor, the Roman emperor, and he said, the Jews are rebelling against you. How do you know this is true? So he said, send them an offering, a korban, said Bar Kamsa, and see whether they will bring it on top of their mizbeach. So the emperor sent a fine animal. Along the way, what did Bar Kamsa do to the animal? He made a blemish in the animal. Some say on his upper lip, some say in his eye. We count it as a blemish, but the Romans, the pagans, do not count it as a blemish. The rabbis were not sure what to do. Maybe they should offer it on the Mizbeach so as not to offend the government. In the end, they didn't offer it. And thereupon, it was the beginning of the end. They're really rebelling against me. They don't accept my korban. Okay. Very nice story. Sinis Chinam. We began with Sinis Chinam. But I want to tell you something. Baruch Pokei Achivim, and I say this often in my classes, sometimes it takes a while to get an answer to your question. Okay? You have to be patient. Hashem will send you the answer in the right time. Don't give up. It took me a few years to come to why Nun is omitted from Ashrei. I know, because the Gemara says, Nafla lo tosif kum besuas Yisrael. Actually, it relates to Churban. Because they quote a pasuk saying, Nafla lo tosif kum besuas Yisrael. Israel has fallen, she won't get up. So we don't want to say that in Ashrei, so you omit Nun. Really? You can't find a pasuk with Aleph? You can't find a pasuk with Aleph that describes Churban? Artzachem shemama, arechem srufos ei. So why do I say Ashrei, Yoshua v'secha, Jirchasala? Why do I wait till Nun, till Min Nun? It took me a few years to come to the answer for that. So sometimes, it takes a while. That was just an example. It took me a few years. It was either last year or the year before. I can't even remember. So I've either had this question for a year or two. And I asked a number of people, and I tried to find an answer. I am not baki at all in Gemara. I can quote certain passages that are relevant to our learning. I don't learn Gemara. I don't know Gemara. So I was told this is just how the Gemara is. It's not so significant. What was my question? I want to see if anyone gets it. I kamtza ubar kamtza charov Yerushalayim. What's the problem with that statement? What?
Kamsa was not there.
Oh, beautiful. So I've had this question at least 1 year. I don't remember, though, if I tried to find the answer last year or 2 years ago. And again, I teach this every year during the 3 weeks. Sometimes something strikes you as odd. So it seemed to me very odd. It should say, because of Bar Kamsa and the host, Jerusalem was destroyed.
You don't even know his name.
Kamsa? Bar Kamsa? Why is Kamsa being blamed for the destruction of Jerusalem? So I asked, one person asked in of an answer, one person I asked again, told me, you know, it's just the lesson of the Gemara, it doesn't really mean anything, so I don't know. And I asked someone who is quite learned, so I didn't think anything. Last night, I'm so happy. I went for a fast walk. I was listening to a shiur on YU Torah by Rabbi Yaakov Glasser. Young Israel, Pseig Clifton. Okay? So it's a very nice shiur on Ahavas Chinam. He spoke about Maseches Yuma. He spoke about Va'avta Recha Kamocha. It was a nice reiteration of things that we talk about. 45 minutes in, I knew why Hashem made sure I heard this shiur. I never listened to a shiur of his before. It was one of the editors' pick on YU Torah, so I clicked on it. It was an hour long. My walk is about 50 minutes, 55 minutes. 45 minutes in, I knew I had to listen to the shiur. Not because of Maseches Yuma, not because of V'Avta L'Recha Kamocha. I stopped, and you don't have to know when I'm fast talking, I really stop for anything. Like, I was going to say if it was the president, I wouldn't stop, but whatever. You got the point. I don't stop because of V'Nishmarta Ma'od Nav Sechem. I don't have time, I have to get home, I don't want my heart rate to slow down, I'm not stopping. I am almost stopped to make sure I'm going to hear. You know, there's airplanes, there's cars. The Maharal asks, Hodu Lashem Kitov, Kili Olam Chasto. What did Kamsa do? Ah! Sometimes you have to wait for your answers. Don't give up. What did Kamsa do? Rabbi Glasser's quoting the Maharal. Kamsa's at home. That's where you got the question. Kamsa didn't do anything. He's not at the party. He was never invited. You know, someone says, did you get my e-vite? And you say, actually, I didn't. They say, oh, this happens very often. There must be something wrong with the program. I emailed the wrong person. Why did Kamsa do? Nothing. So why would Chazal say, I came home from my walk, and it was hot, and it was far, and excuse me, I had to use the ladies' room, so usually that's a problem. So Mazen's like, how's the walk? I'm like, it was fantastic. He's like, why? I said, I got an answer to my question. It's a yeast, a year old. So I quickly emailed the two people I had spoken to. I'm like, remember we discussed this? Kamsa's at home. Kamsa did nothing. I want to even add on to this. Who's first, which I never even thought of at the time. Who do we even blame first? Who's first by Miriam and Aaron? Tidaber, Miriam and Aaron b'moshen. Who do we blame if you look at Rashi there? Miriam. He hitchila b'davar. So it's even more of a kasha.
Because he did nothing.
What?
Because he did nothing.
Wait, Ikamta u Bar Kamsa. You put a Kamsa first. You should put Bar Kamsa first, if anything. Or the host in Bar Kamsa. Okay. Rabbi Glasser said, quoting the Maharal, in a time and an era and an aura and an environment and a neighborhood of sinas chinam, your friends are also poisoned by the hatred. What does that mean? One person alone can't really instigate a whole group against another group. It's very hard to be a baal sinas chinam in isolation. You could be a person full of hatred, but you feed off each other. If there's no one to listen to your lashon hara, who are you talking lashon hara to? The mirror? You know what? That would be a really good eitza. Imagine if we all spoke lashon hara to the mirror. It's a geshmak idea. You need other people to cultivate hatred. And if your friends are cultivating that hatred with you, if Kamsa and the host go out and in walks Bar Kamsa, I'm not talking about the party, I'm talking about last week. They went to the restaurant in Central. There at the table, you have Kamsa and the host. And who walks in? Bar Kamsa. And they start making snide remarks at the table. Look who just came in. Remember what he did to us? What a lowlife. Look how he dresses. Look at his kippah. Look at the shul he davens in. He believes in the IDF. I'm anti the IDF. He believes in Medina Yisrael. I hate the Tzionim. In a poisonous environment, your friends are not really your friends. Oh, it was worth waiting a year to get the answer. Therefore, Kamsa is as responsible for Chorban Beis HaMikdash as Bar Kamsa. And not only that, but who's first? Kamsa. Because what led to the hatred of Bar Kamsa? Kamsa and the host. We sit at this table, you sit at that table. We go to this kehila, you go to that shvach kehila. In an environment of hatred, your friends are not really your friends. It was worth waiting. Asay lecha rav, knei lecha chaver, Pirkei Avos tells us, Vehevedanis kol adam lekav schus. Now we can understand the progression. Make sure you have a competent rabbi. The rabbis at the party were doing nothing when this man was publicly humiliated and shamed. No one got up. No one said maybe he could stay. No one was Aaron Cohen trying to work it out. Say the harav. You got to make sure you have proper guidance in life. Ask a shayla, but make sure you know who you're asking your shayla to. Knei lecha chaver. Make sure you have a real chaver. And when you have the proper rabbinic guidance in life, and you have good quality ayin tova friends, it will be so easy. How does the Mishnah end? Hey, Vedanis kala Adam. Had the host and Kamsa had a quality relationship, a positive friendship, a friend who brings you up, there's an aliyah to your neshama from being with that person, then the whole thing would never have happened. Because they would have been done as kala adam lekavschus. Maybe Bar Kamsa could really be here. Maybe even though I have a different neshkafa, I don't get along. He wronged me yesterday. I'm not going to publicly humiliate him. Ikamtza ubar kamtza. Because of kamtza and bar kamtza, chav yishlaim. And I want to add on an insight now. Why does it call a friend a rachman? Derachame, dalad reish ches mem yud hey, reish ches mem. It reminds me of the chasida. The chasida in Parsha Shmini is a not kosher bird. The root word of chasida, of course, is chesed. Why would a not kosher bird be called a chasida? We want to ingest or fuse within ourselves positive mitos. So this is a bird, says Rashi, so osa chesed im chaverta. She does chesed with her friends. It's the exact same pshat here. The chasida does chesed with who? Her friends. Kamtza was a rachman to who?
His friends.
But what about the people he didn't like? His mercy, his compassion, his friendship, his rachmim is only reserved for the people who are like him. Rabbi Nachum Dinowitz, who taught one of my boys in camp, one of my boys in yeshiva, sent home a beautiful Dvar Torah, and this is how we're going to end our shiur today. Thank you all very much for listening to me, for learning with me, for being excited with me, for crying with me. We have all these mitzvos, so Rabbi Dinowitz. We have gemachs. They also have gemachs. Look up in Maseches Yuma, the gemara I quote ad nauseum during the 3 weeks. Torah, mitzvos, gemilas chasada. We have gemachs, they have gemachs. We have yeshivas, they have yeshivas. We have mitzvos, they have mitzvos. We have all these bricks. What's sin is chinam? No, what's ahav is chinam? The cement to put the bricks together. So Rabbi Dinowitz told the boys, it goes back a few years, I think he was my son's second grade Rebbe. My son's just finished fifth grade. We have all these mitzvos, which means we have piles and piles of bricks. Why don't we have the edifice, the structure, by a shlishi? Because we don't have the cement to put it all together. We should be zocha. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilacha v'nashuva. That's how we end Megillas Eicha. Chadesh Yameinu kekedam. Ki'ima'os me'astanu. Katzafta aleinu ad me'od. We should be zocha that the mo'ed of destruction v'mehira b'yameinu should be turned to a mo'ed of simcha for us and all of Kal Yisrael.
Amen.
Thank you, ladies.